So then, the subject tonight is faith. The subject tonight is faith. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his earthly ministry, often drew attention to faith. There's an amazing account in Matthew chapter 15. It's a striking account where a Canaanite woman comes asking something from him, and by persistence she gets what she asks. But the Lord Jesus turns to her with these words, O woman, great is your faith. Our Lord, you see, our Lord looked at this woman. Your faith is great. And he's noticing, he's drawing attention to her faith. And the word faith is used in Scripture a lot. And the other word that's used, which really comes to about just about the same thing, is the word believing. In some places we hear about faith, and in other places we hear about believing. And again, our Lord Jesus Christ in his ministry spoke to people about believing. Many of you will know the famous verses in John chapter 3, verse 16. He says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," what? "That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And he goes on with this. He says, "He who believes in him," in himself, "is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already." Why? "Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And so tonight I want to consider with you the subject, briefly, the subject of faith or believing. And the first thing is the necessity of faith. All right? That's the first thing. The necessity of faith. You got that? First, the necessity of faith. I'd like to be sure that everyone's listening. The necessity of faith. The necessity of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, we read about Enoch. And it says about Enoch that this man had this testimony. In other words, this is what was said about Enoch, that he pleased God. Think about Enoch. It was said about him, he pleased God. But the writer goes on and says this. Listen. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Why? For he who comes to God," it's a little word that we always miss, "must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." That's Hebrews 11, verse 6. It's a very important verse. It's telling us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible to please God. And what does the writer say? If you are coming to God, you must first of all believe that he is. He is God. But more than that, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In other words, this is a living God who, as it were, has dealings with those who seek him. God is active. He is dealing with men and women. And he rewards those who seek him. He must believe that God is. In other words, if you come to God, you have to be convinced and know that God is, that he is the living God, and that he deals with goodness and mercy to everyone who comes to him. That's what you have to believe. I read to you just now, I said to you, the words I want you to remember from Hebrews 11 is this: without faith, without it, if it's missing, it is impossible to please God. And then did you notice, if you remember just the words I read from John's Gospel, where Jesus says, right, if a man does not believe, that faith is missing, there's no faith, he doesn't believe, he is condemned already. The consequences of not having faith is absolute disaster. That's why I say to you, faith is necessary. It's needful. Jesus said to the Jews a little bit later on, he says this: if you do not believe that I am he, what? You will die in your sins. In other words, he's really saying, if you do not believe in me, if you do not believe that I am he, in other words, I am the Lord, the Saviour, the Son of God, you will go to hell. That's the consequences of not having faith, not believing. Now, this is all negative, isn't it? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, you will die in your sins. These are really... These negative statements are telling you it's essential to have faith. The necessity of faith. And then in other scriptures, in Ephesians, Paul says twice, or more or less twice anyway, he says that we are saved through faith. We are saved. We're not saved by faith. We're saved through faith. It's as if faith is what enables us to grasp hold of the Saviour, and we are saved. We are saved through faith. The Apostle John, in writing his letter, he says to the church, he says, faith is the victory. He says, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And without faith, there's no victory. You will be a defeated person. Without faith, there is no victory. And the Apostle Paul, again in another place, he says, I live, I think Grace told me she remembers this verse by from memory, I live, what? I live by faith in the Son of God. It's as if Paul said, this is my life. I live by faith in the Son of God. I am saved by faith in the Son of God. I gain the victory by faith in the Son of God. I please God by faith in his Son, and so on. You can see, as I tell you these things, you can see how the necessity of faith. And I say this to you, that the person who has faith, the person who has faith, is a person who believes in God. He believes in Jesus Christ. He knows the truth of the Word of God, which is told him about God and about Jesus Christ. He knows what the Bible says about God and about Jesus Christ, and he is persuaded that it is true. I know that this is true, and in this sense, he knows God and knows Christ. The Gospel of John speaks about believing in Christ as receiving him. Receiving him. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, in that action you receive him. You receive him. And so first of all tonight, all this is absolutely necessary. This is the necessity of faith. Secondly, because of the necessity of faith, it is also, I can also speak to you about the necessity of hearing the Word of God. So first, we thought about briefly the necessity of faith, or the necessity of believing in God and in Christ. But now I speak to you about the necessity of hearing the Word of God. Why do I say that? Because of the verse in Romans 10. I don't know if your Bibles are still open, it doesn't really matter. In Romans 10, verse 17, we have these words. Romans 10:17, so then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, there are three things there. There has to be faith, but there also then has to be hearing. And there has to be, in order for there to be hearing, there has to be the word of God. There's a chain there. So, if you're right, go down the line the other way. The necessity of the word of God. And then, that's no good unless we have with it the hearing of the word. What good is the word of God if you don't hear it? And then, the hearing of the word of God is the means or the instrument by which God creates faith in a heart of a man. Okay, so so then he says, Paul says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now I want you to notice the question that Paul has asked just before he says that. He says, in verse 14 it is, listen to these words, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Now, can you answer that question? Let me repeat the question. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Can anyone answer that question for me tonight? Is there a way of anyone believing in Christ if they have not heard about him? What Paul is saying is, there is no faith at all. That's impossible unless there is the hearing of the word. How shall they believe if they have not heard? Now, there's a man in the Gospel of John who asked that very same question. Listen to this. The Lord Jesus, I won't tell you the whole story. The Lord Jesus found this man. And he asked him a question. This was the question. Do you believe in the Son of God? Do you agree with me? That's an important question. It must be an important question for Christ to ask it of this man. Do you believe in the Son of God? Do you know what the man said back to him? Didn't say yes, didn't say no. Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? Right? What's he saying? In order to believe in him, I have to know who he is. And then Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is speaking with you. And then he says, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. But can you see the question the man asked? Who is he, Lord? Who is he that I may believe in him? And Paul is asking the same question. How shall anyone believe in the Lord Jesus Christ unless they first hear the word of God? I'm trying to emphasize tonight the necessity of hearing the word of God. James says this, and I won't stay with James tonight, but James says this to them. He says, what's he say? Receive. What? With meekness. The implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Can you see what he's saying? He said, you must receive the word, and it has to be implanted in you, and it's able to save your souls. So then, faith is necessary, and in order to have faith, hearing is necessary. And then, hearing, which leads to faith, brings a man into salvation. He is saved in that way. Okay? So, the necessity of faith and the necessity of the word and hearing the word of God. Now, let me tell you this. Satan knows all about this. And that's why, in the passage we read in Matthew 13, Jesus warns that for some people, Satan snatches the word away. What about that? Why do you think Satan snatches the word away? Well, it's because he wants to drag that man's soul down into the pit of the bottomless pit, the torments of hell, the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. He wants to drag that soul down there with him. That's why. If I can snatch away the word, he's hell-bound for sure. That's the logic. That's what's going on. Do you know this? Tonight, and this morning, by the way, I am, and I was, preaching the word of God. And would you believe it, that as I'm preaching the word of God, Satan is snatching it from some people. And sometimes when you've been preaching a long time, you can almost see it happening under your nose. Richard will agree with me. I know Richard will agree with me. You preach, and Satan comes and he operates in the congregation and he snatches away the word from some who hear it. Let me tell you this. Ignorance is the enemy of faith. Do you know that? If you are ignorant of the word of God, you cannot be a believer. Well, what are you going to believe? You see, ignorance is the death blow of the soul. It's ignorance is a dark dungeon and it's got some heavy chains. The man who is ignorant of the word of God has fallen into the snare of Satan. He is in the grip of the one who snatches the word away. You know, about 200 years ago in this country, very clever people, oh, professors of philosophy and theology and all sorts. These clever people were very busy casting doubt on the Bible. You know what their message was? You can't trust the Bible. That old-fashioned bit of scribbling, you can't trust the Bible. That was the message that was being pumped into this country from about 200 years ago. And do you know what the response of many in the church was? Oh, well, never mind about that, because religion really is all about feeling anyway. And so, foolishly, people shifted faith and religion from the knowledge of God to how you feel. That's what's happened. It's still happening in this country. And Christians are making that mistake. If you ask many so-called Christians, why do you come to church? Do you come to church to obtain knowledge of the word and knowledge of God? They say, no, I come to church to get a nice feeling when I go home. That's how people estimate the value of a church. How do I feel when I go home? I tell you, that's the wrong thing to think about. Sometimes the word of God makes you feel miserable. And so it should. It's not about how you feel. It's about the knowledge of the word of God. I mean, I tell you, it's a nightmare sometimes to choose hymns in a church. Because people are all asking, well, not all, it's like not all. So many people are asking the wrong question, like, do I like that music? Do I like that style of music? Instead of, am I edified by this hymn? Is it building up my faith? You see, we're operating on the wrong plane. And do you know who's laughing up his sleeve over this? The devil. Knowledge is valuable. The knowledge of the Word of God is a treasure to be kept, to get and to keep. People come to church for all kinds of crazy reasons. Some people come to church to get healings or other kinds of experiences. Or some even come to church because they're told that they'll get wealthier that way. Well, you will get wealthier in church, wealthier in knowledge, if you're hearing the Word of God. Now then, faith is a gift of God. Faith is a gift of God, and it is created in the heart by the Holy Spirit. That's His precious work. Something we, God willing, we will think about sometime in the future. But the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God. I wonder how many of you remember how John closes his gospel. Listen to this. And truly, well, it's nearly the end. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But listen. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Can you see what John's saying? I'm writing so that you may believe, and more than believe, you may know and understand who is this Jesus. And knowing that, you will have life in his name. This is exactly what Paul is saying. There must be the Word of God preached, or in this case, written, and then that must be heard and understood, and then there is life. Then there is salvation. Now, listen, the Holy Spirit inspired these words. He put them there so that you may know God, and you may know His will and His work and His commandments. You may know the way of salvation. The Spirit of God put these words on these pages for you to have knowledge. And then He comes, and the very opposite of Satan, who snatches the word, the Holy Spirit plants the word in the heart of the believer. Okay? This is really important. The work of the Spirit plants the word in the heart of the believer. This is the work of creating faith. Creating faith. No wonder our Lord Jesus Christ said these words. He said, take heed how you hear. And I would say also, take heed that you hear. And take heed what you hear. There are plenty of other voices in this world telling you what is not in the Word of God. But Christ says to them, take heed how you hear. What does he mean? He means be very, very careful that nothing is allowed to take from you the Word of God. Now, the sad thing is that many people allow this, that, and the other to take from them the Word of God. Let me ask you this. If you stay away from church when the Word of God is being read and preached, are you hearing the Word of God or not? What is it? And if you're not hearing it, how can you become a man or woman of faith? But then, if you come to church and the preacher is working and you are falling asleep, now, I've got great sympathy with people who are tired. I've got sympathy with people who are on medication and they feel sleepy because of their... But nevertheless, whatever the reason is, if you are falling asleep under the sound of the word, how will you get the knowledge that you're sleeping through? And then how will you become a believer? How? I ask the question, how? How do you propose to sleep under the sound of the word and yet imagine that you're going to become a strong man and woman of faith? How are you going to do that? And then, what about the person who doesn't concentrate? Oh, I tell you what. Don't we just daydream? Don't we just think about the roast in the oven or, you know, the football game or the rugby game that was wasting 75,000 people's time? Where are our minds when the word of God is being preached? And whatever it is that's taking the word from you, it's taking faith from you. It's taking Christ from you. It's taking knowledge from you. It's taking life from you. Don't you see this? How about if the word is soon forgotten? Oh, aren't we forgetful? Well, I put the question. I'm asking the question. How do you propose to become a man or woman of faith unless you are hearing the word of God? The Apostle Paul would come tonight and he'd say, that's impossible. You can't do it. Christ would come tonight and say to you, you can't do that. James would come. You can't do that unless you receive the implanted word. And so, tonight we've talked about the necessity of faith. And the necessity of hearing. The truth is that God has opened to us a great treasury of knowledge. In the scriptures, he's given us phenomenal riches. He really has. And when you come to the scriptures and you hear it read and preached, there is the opportunity, the door of opportunity is open to gain knowledge about which you can be certain. There's no uncertainty here. What you have here is utterly reliable, and you can be persuaded. You can know that you've been persuaded of the truth. There it is, the treasures of the Word of God. And the scriptures everywhere says to the children of God, come and hear. Come and hear, because the hearing of the word of God is the way in which God gives a man the gift of faith, shapes his life, and settles his eternity. Amen.